Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, member by Ram Goldar, and here Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Aleph, the fifth parak Hasorches HaPoel. The Zichu Maseches Avodah Zarah program has been dedicated to Zichu Nishmas Rav Moshe Binyamin ben Rav Menachem Olav Hashalom, and Zichu Nishmas his son Rav Menachem Avram ben Rav Moshe Binyamin Olav Hashalom. May the Neshamas have an Aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, Rav said that it's permitted for a Jew to tell an idolater, say, v'hapes alai menas ha-melech, go and satisfy the king's tax for me, which I'll reimburse. Although the Alkum may pay with the Ayin Nesach, since he could have paid with money, he's not acting as a Jew shaliach if he chooses to pay with the Ayin Nesach. Rav was challenged from a brice which teaches that a Jew may not tell an idolater, ul taktai la'otzer, go in my stead to the ruler to take care of my taxes, because his paying with the Ayin Nesach is considered as a shaliach of the Jew. Rav responded that his case is not like this one, where the Jew appointed the Alkum to go in his stead, thereby appointing him a shaliach for any action he takes. Rather, it's similar to the latter case of that brisa, avo omer lo malteini min ha'otzer, but he may tell the idolater, save me from my taxes to the ruler. In these cases, since he could have paid with money, his choosing to pay with the Ayin Nesach is not acting on the Jew's behalf. Point number two, Amemar said, Meshicha be'ovid kochavim kona, Meshicha, pulling, in an agreement with an idolater, acquires the item, not giving money for it. He supported this from the fact that Persians send gifts to each other and do not retract because the recipient's meshicha acquires the item for him. Rav Ashi disagreed and said meshicha may not be kona for an akum. The reason the Persians do not retract from their gifts, although they can, the Ramas Rucha Hudanakitahu, it's because of a haughty spirit which possesses them. Rav Ashi brought support for his position from Rav's instructions to wine sellers. He told them to take payment for the wine before measuring it out, because otherwise it will become Yain Nesach while the Jew still owns it, and he cannot take payment for it. If Meshicha would be Kona, the Alkum would acquire the wine when he takes the measured wine before it becomes Yain Nesach. The Gemara answers that the Jews were measuring wine into the Alkum's jug, which contains some Yain Nesach from its last use. It explains further that this jug has a lip at the top with drops of wine from its previous use, which prohibits the Jew's wine before it even enters utensils airspace. And point number three, Ravina brought proof that Meshicha is Kona for an Akum from Rabbi Yochanan's ruling. Ben Noach Nehrag al Pachas Meshava Pruta. A Ben Noach is executed for stealing from a Jew something worth less than a Pruta's value. Well, Nitan Lehishavon, and the stolen item is not subject to being returned. Although this amount is insignificant for a Jew, it's significant for a Gentile, and sufficient to incur the Ben Noach's death penalty for stealing. Still, because the Jew is mochel the small loss, the Ben Noach need not return it. If Meshicha would not acquire for an Akum, why is he killed for stealing if he did not acquire the stolen item? Rav Ashi responded that even without acquiring the stolen item, he is killed mishum detzari liyisrael, because he pained the Jew by taking his article. However, the Gemara proves otherwise from the Sefer of Yochanan's statement. If another Ben Noach came and stole the item from the first, he is also executed. Now, if Meshicha was not Kona, why is the second Ben Noach killed, since the Jew had already lost his item and the first Akum never acquired it? Rather, this proves that an Akum is Kona with Meshicha. So once again, the 3 points are: number one, Rav said it's permitted for a Jew to tell an idolater, say v'hapas alai menas ha-melech, go and satisfy the king's tax for me, which I will reimburse. Although the Akum may pay with the Ayin Nesach, since he could have paid with money, he's not acting as a Jew shaliach if he chooses to pay with the Ayin Nesach. Rav was challenged from a brice which teaches that a Jew may not tell an idolater, ul taktai la'otzer, go in my stead to the ruler to take care of my taxes, because his paying with Yain Nesach is considered as a shaliach of the Jew. Rav responded that his case is not like this one, where the Jew appointed the Alkum to go in his stead, thereby appointing him a shaliach for any action he takes. Rather, it's similar to the latter case of that brisa, avo omer lo malteini min ha'otzer, but he may tell the idolater, save me from my taxes to the ruler. In these cases, since he could have paid with money, his choosing to pay with the Ayin Nesach is not acting on the Jew's behalf. Point number two, Amemar said, Meshicha be'ovid kochavim kona, Meshicha, pulling, in an agreement with an idolater, acquires the item, not giving money for it. He supported this from the fact that Persians send gifts to each other and do not retract because the recipient's meshicha acquires the item for him. Rav Ashi disagreed and said meshicha may not be kona for an akum. The reason the Persians do not retract from their gifts, although they can, the Ramas Rucha Hudanakitahu, it's because of a haughty spirit which possesses them. Rav Ashi brought support for his position from Rav's instructions to wine sellers. He told them to take payment for the wine before measuring it out, because otherwise it will become Yain Nesach while the Jew still owns it, and he cannot take payment for it. If Meshicha would be Kona, the Alkum would acquire the wine when he takes the measured wine before it becomes Yain Nesach. The Gemara answers that the Jews were measuring wine into the Akum's jug, which contains some Yain Nesach from its last use. It explains further that this jug has a lip at the top with drops of wine from its previous use, which prohibits the Jews' wine before it even enters utensils airspace. And point number three, Ravina brought proof that Meshicha is Kona for an Akum from Rabbi Yochanan's ruling. Ben Noach Nehrag al Pachas Meshava Pruta. A Ben Noach is executed for stealing from a Jew something worth less than a Pruta's value. Well, Nitan Lehishavon, and the stolen item is not subject to being returned. Although this amount is insignificant for a Jew, it's significant for a Gentile and sufficient to incur the Ben Noach's death penalty for stealing. Still, because the Jew is mocho the small loss, the Ben Noach need not return it. If Meshicha would not acquire for an Akum, why is he killed for stealing if he did not acquire the stolen item? Rav Ashi responded that even without acquiring the stolen item, he is killed Mishum Detzari Li Yisrael because he pained the Jew by taking his article. However, the Gemara proves otherwise from the Sefer of Yochanan's statement. If another Ben Noach came and stole the item from the first, he is also executed. Now, if Meshicha was not Kona, why is the second Ben Noach killed since the Jew had already lost his item and the first Akum never acquired it? Rather, this proves that an Akum is Kona with Meshicha. All right, so now we got our Siman Daf Ein Aleph, and this Siman suggested to us by Sammy Rubin from London. He suggested that Ein Aleph is a donkey going E-ah, E-ah. So donkey is our Siman. So here goes. When the man giving donkey rides told the goy, go and satisfy my tax to the king so I can give my donkey rides and I will pay you back, the goy did Meshicha on some Yain Nesach to pay the tax, but then got into trouble when he stole less than a Shava Pruta from a Yid, rendering himself Chai Misa. Once again, slow motion. When the man giving donkey rides, that must mean Daf Ein Aleph, E-ah. When the man giving donkey rides told the goy, go and satisfy my tax to the king, so I can give my donkey rides and I will pay you back. Which reminds us, Rav said it's permitted for a Jew to tell an idolater, go and satisfy the king's tax for me, which I'll reimburse. Although the Akum may pay with the Ein Nesach, since he could pay with money, he's not acting as a Jew shaliach if he chooses to pay with the Ein Nesach. So when the man giving donkey rides told the goy, go and satisfy my tax to the king, so I can give my donkey rides, and I'll pay you back, the goy did Meshicha on some Yain Nesach to pay the tax, which reminds us that Gemara brings Malchok as whether Meshicha is Kona by Ovid Kochavim. So when the man giving donkey rides told the goy, go and satisfy my tax to the king, so I can give my donkey rides, and I'll pay you back, the goy did Meshicha on some Yain Nesach to pay the tax, but then got into trouble when he stole less than a Shava Prutim from a Yid, rendering himself Chai Misa, which reminds us, Ravina brought proof that Meshicha is Kona for an Akum from Rabbi Yochanan's ruling. Ben Noach Nehrag al Pachas Meshava Pruta. A Ben Noach is executed for stealing from a Jew something worth less than a Pruta's value, and the stolen item is not subject to being returned. Although this amount is insignificant for a Jew, it's significant for a Gentile and sufficient to incur the Ben Noach's death penalty for stealing. Still, because the Jew is mocho the small loss, the Ben Noach need not return it. If Meshicha would not acquire for an Akum, why is he killed for stealing if he did not acquire the stolen item? So once again, when the man giving donkey rides told the goy, go and satisfy my tax to the king, so I can give my donkey rides, and I will pay you back, the goy did Meshicha on some Yain Nesach to pay the tax, but then got into trouble when he stole less than a Shava Pruta from a Yid, rendering himself Chai Misa. All right, so now it's time for a four blabach Hazara. Daf Samach Zayin. So the Siman Daf Samach Zayin is a sizzling barbecue. So here goes. At the Bachrim's barbecue, that must mean we're on Daf Samach Zayin, sizzling barbecue. At the Bachrim's barbecue, where one goy from the nearby grill spilled nos and tum with gum isrim to a pot that was not fully spiced and nonetheless mutter, which reminds us Reish Lakish qualifies a permit of nos and tum with gum. This does not apply where people say the pot of food is missing salt or has too much salt or has too little or too much spice, meaning if there are additional factors contributing to the detrimental flavor, it is not considered nos and tum of gum and remains forbidden. Rather, kosha ein chasera klum, any mixture which is not missing anything, ve'ena ne'achel es mifnei zeh, and is not eaten, meaning it's less desirable only because of this forbidden flavor, is permitted as nos and tum of gum. The Gemara brings another version of Reish Lakish. So at the Bachrim's barbecue, where one goy from the nearby grill spilled nos and tum of gum isrim to a pot that was not fully spiced and nonetheless mutter, and another goy spilled melted chalev into a pot of beans, making them usser with no malchus, which reminds us, if a mixture only includes the forbidden food's flavor but not the substance, meaning melted chalev fell into a pot of food, usser ve'in lokin lav, it's prohibited, but one does not incur malchus for eating it. So at the Bachrim's barbecue, where one goy from the nearby grill spilled nosen tamufgam isrin to a pot that was not fully spiced and nonetheless mutter, and another goy spilled melted chalev into a pot of beans, making them usher with no malchus, the Bachrim at the picnic table realized the steaks were placed on a goy's plates and debated if there's a heter of nosen tamufgam or not, which reminds us, our Bryce records a malchokas about nosen tamufgam. Reb Meir says, echad nosen tamufgam, whether a forbidden food gives flavor to the mixture's detriment, echad nosen tamufgam shevach, or whether it gives flavor to its improvement, it's forbidden. Reb Shimon says, nosen tamufgam is permitted. Reb Meir derives his opinion from Geuli of the Chochavim, the emissions of idolatrous kelim. The Torah required removing all forbidden flavor absorbed in utensils taken from Midian, although such flavors were nosen tamufgam, since presumably there was more than one day old. Rabbi Shimon would respond, Lo aser Torah el kedera bas yoma. The Torah only prohibited a pot used that same day, whose flavor is not detrimental. However, Rabbi Meir would counter, Kedera bas yoma nami yefshar de lepagma purta. Even a pot used that day, it's impossible that it's not somewhat detrimental to the food cooked afterwards in it. Dav Samaches. So the Simran Dav Samaches is Schach. So here goes. At the Nosen Tamufgam carnival, Harun the Sukkah was Schach. Sukkah was Schach? That must be around Dav Samaches. At the Nosen Tamufgam carnival held in the sukkah with schach, dripping with aser vinegar, the kids were having a blast, watching iser drip into a bowl of food and guessing at what point it was mashpiach and then pogame the food's flavor, which reminds us, the Gemara brings malchokas if Nosen Tamufgam is by hishpiach ubaso pagam or by pagam miikara. So, at the Nosen Tamufgam carnival held in the sukkah with schach, dripping with aser vinegar, the kids were having a blast watching iser drip into a bowl of food and guessing at what point it was mashpiach and then pogame the food's flavor, and watching dough rise from leaven of truma and chulin together, which reminds us the Braisa taught that if truma, leaven, and chulin fell simultaneously into a dough, and first leavened it and then ruined it, the rabbanan prohibit the dough because the prohibited leaven caused the dough to be leavened faster than it would have with only the chulin leaven. Rabbi Shimon permits the dough because although it was first improved, the permitted and prohibited leavens improved it together. Rabbi Shimon is following his view that afilo iser ve iser nami lo mitztarfe, even one prohibition and another prohibition do not combine to prohibit a mixture. So at the Nosen Tamufgam carnival held in the sukkah with schach dripping with aser vinegar, the kids were having a blast watching iser drip into a bowl of food and guessing at what point it was mashpiach and then pogame the food's flavor, and watching dough rise from leaven of truma and chulin together, when their father said the party's over because a mouse fell into his beer, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses what the din is regarding Nosen Tamufgam in a case where a mouse fell into some beer. Dav Samech Tes. So the similar Dav Samech Tes is soot, and we often use a chimney sweep. So here goes. The chimney sweep, that must be in Dav Samech Tes, soot. The chimney sweep, who always kept some wine on hand and was riding behind his goy worker transporting his brushes and his wine, which reminds us, the next Mishnah teaches the laws of leaving wine with an idolater. If an Akum was transporting jugs of wine for a Jew from place to place, if it was in a state of supervision, it's permitted, meaning even if the Jew traveled at a distance, the Akum is afraid the Jew may appear at any moment and doesn't touch the wine. So the chimney sweep, who always kept some wine on hand and was riding behind his goy worker transporting his brushes and his wine, and his assistant, the Amma Arts, who was transporting his taros, who greeted his Amma Arts friend on the way, which reminds us, if an employer told his Amma Arts workers transporting his taro produce, go ahead and I'll follow you later, then as soon as he could not see them, they're considered tame. The Gemara explains that the cases where he was matire his workers in a mikvah, so they're not matame the foods by carrying them. The concern is that ein Amma Arts makbid al mago chavero, and Amma Arts is not particular about his friends touching the owner's taros, so he may have allowed someone he met to touch them, rendering them tame. So the chimney sweep, who always kept some wine on hand and was riding behind his goy worker, transporting his brushes and his wine, and his assistant, the Amma Arts, who was transporting his taros, who greeted his Amma Arts friend on the way, couldn't see that up ahead a goy was drinking from a yid's barrel of wine by putting a straw in the air hole, which reminds us, we don't leave wine barrels with the akum nowadays because of the air hole, a very small hole in a barrel's cover to allow the wine's aroma to escape. We're concerned that the akum may squeeze a straw through this hole and drink some of the wine. Daf Ayin. So the Simmer Daf Ayin is an eye doctor. So here goes. After the eye doctor, that must be Ron Daf Ayin. After the eye doctor had his patient look at a picture of a Jew's inn and try to spot the idolater found sitting among the barrels of wine, which reminds us, the Gemara relates numerous incidents in which an Akum was found alone with the Jew's wine. Once in a Jew's inn which housed barrels of wine, an Akum was found sitting among the barrels. Rav ruled that im nitpas alav kagonav, if he would be seized because of it as a thief, meaning he would have no excuse for touching the Jew's wine, the wine is permitted because his fear of being caught prevents him from doing nisach. If he would not be considered a thief for touching the wine, it's prohibited. So after the eye doctor had his patient look at a picture of a Jew's inn and try to spot the idolater found sitting among the barrels of wine, and then view a picture of a Jew standing outside the door where he kept his taharos and find the key he entrusted to an Am Haaretz, which reminds us, a Mishnah taught that if one gave his keys to an Am Haaretz, his tower items remained tower because he only entrusted him with guarding the key. Abai concluded if one's taharos remained tower, in such a case, is it not obviously so regarding Yain Nesach as well? The Gemara infers from Abai's language that taharos are stricter than Yain Nesach. So after the eye doctor had his patient look at a picture of a Jew's inn and try to spot the idolater found sitting among the barrels of wine, and then view a picture of a Jew standing outside the door where he kept his taharos and find the key he entrusted to an Am Haaretz, he tested him by looking at a picture of a legion of soldiers entering a city during peacetime and count the open barrels of wine that became Yain Nesach, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Boleshes Shenichnasa Le'ir, if a legion of soldiers entered a city, B'Shah Shalom, if it was during peacetime, the open barrels are prohibited and the sealed ones are permitted. Since it was peacetime, they had time to perform Nisach with wine from the open barrels. The sealed barrels were presumably not open since soldiers would not bother to reseal barrels. B'Shah's Milchama, however, if they came during wartime, both types of barrels are permitted, Levi She'en Panay L'Nasach, because there is no time during a war to make libations. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Which stuff do you want? If Yain Nesach fell into grapes, he washes them off and they're permitted because no wine was absorbed into the grapes. That's on Daf Samech Hey. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do you learn that if a mixture only includes a forbidden food's flavor but not its substance, such as melted chalav that fell into a pot of food, it's prohibited but one does not incur malchus for it? That's on Daf Samach Zayin. Good. Number 3. Which stuff do you discuss leaving tower foods with an Am Haaretz and the fact that they're not particular about their friends touching the owner's taharos? That's on Daf Samach Tes. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do you discuss Ben Noach who steals less than a Shava Pruta? That's on Daf Ayin Aleph. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do you discuss whether we go Basa Tamo or Basa Shema for determining Min Bimino? That's on Daf Samach Vav. Good. Number 6. Which stuff do you discuss how much time an idolater needs to access wine in a Jew's barrel, for example, during transport? That's on Daf Samach Tes. Good. Number 7. Which stuff do we machokas whether Mashiach is koned by Ovid Kochavim? That's on Daf Ayin Aleph. Good. Number 8. Which daf do Malchus regarding Nosim Tam of Gam and Nosim Tam of Shevach, and Rabbi Meir's opinion, which is derived from Gilui of the Chochavim, the Kalim from Midian? That's on Daf Samach Zayin. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we discuss an Akum paying a Jew's taxes with Yain Nesach? That's on Daf Ayin Aleph. Number 10. Which daf do we learn that we do not leave wine barrels with an Akum nowadays because of the air hole? That's on Daf Samach Tes. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichru wishing you a great day and great learning.